Well, good evening. Good evening. I tell you what, the sermon must have been terrible this morning. We have run everybody off. But I am appreciative of the faithful few, and thank you for being here tonight. And to God may be the glory for everything that we do. That's a great song and a great reminder. If you have your Bibles, be opening them to Romans chapter 12. We'll be over there in a minute. We're going to have a pit stop in Ephesians chapter 2, and then we're going to take a look at Romans chapter 12 about something. And the title, I don't know if you paid any attention to the title in the bulletin or not, called this lesson, The Grace of Giving. The Grace of Giving. And it's worded exactly that way on purpose. Because I think sometimes we confuse grace with the thing granted. And when I say we, I mean me. We confuse grace with the thing granted. In other words, I think of I am saved by grace, right? Well, the salvation is what's granted. It's granted free of charge. It's granted by grace. And I promise you there is some meaning to this, even if this is a confusing way to start a lesson. In other words, grace does not equal salvation. In our mind it does, okay? So our understanding of grace is grace equals salvation or grace equals forgiveness. That is not correct. And I could not for the life of me find the little not equal to symbol, if you know what I'm talking about, from math all those years ago. If someone can show me where that is on a computer, that'd be fantastic. But we think of it this way, so we think grace equals salvation. Saved by grace, right? We think grace equals forgiveness. But that's not the case. The salvation is the thing that is granted, okay? Grace is not granted. Salvation is granted by grace. Okay? So salvation or forgiveness is the thing. How much do I pay for it? Nothing. I am given forgiveness free of charge. I am given salvation free of charge. They are by grace. I did not pay the cost for forgiveness and salvation on the cross. Jesus did that. I did not grant right standing before Jehovah God. God did that. I have those things. And they are free of charge to me. And you might be thinking, why on earth are we talking about this? Because I want to change our view of our contribution. And I want to change our view of how I give. Now, first of all, let me say, we are very blessed here. I know a lot of people do this. I'm one of them. If you go around to another congregation somewhere, Elbert Jacks used to do this all the time. You look at the attendance number and the contribution number and think, how are they doing? How are we doing in comparison to them? How are they doing in comparison to us? We blow most people out of the water, if you want to know the truth, right? Our contribution per capita is unbelievable. It's wonderful. I like doing lessons on giving. I never want people to feel like that it's a lash that's being used because our giving is great. Giving can always be better, right? So can my love. So can my sharing the gospel, so can my mercy, so can my acts of service. All those things can be better, so please don't sit back and go, we're giving all that we need. We can give more and we can do more. But I don't want that you ever think of this lesson as the preacher standing up here telling me I got to give more money, okay? So let's take a look at this idea of grace not being the thing granted, okay? Because we're going to talk about that in context with contribution in a minute. I mentioned Ephesians 2:8. You can probably just look at the board for this. When we get to Romans 12, I want you to be looking at your Bible. Notice that we are saved by grace, right? So this is why I had the screen before. I think we tend to think of grace and salvation as the same thing. In other words, grace is not the operation. Grace is the amount I pay. Okay? I am saved by grace. I'm saved freely. I'm actually saved by forgiveness, if you just want to get down into the technical doctrinal view of it. So Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's the salvation that's granted, not the grace that's granted. How is the salvation granted? Free of charge. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Now, here is where this lesson picks up. I would never say to God, well, I have earned my salvation. I have earned my salvation, and it's something I have. We understand it's something given to us freely. It's the gift of God that no man may boast. Same thing with my contribution. Same thing with my contribution. And hopefully, to make some sense out of this, now let's turn to Romans chapter 12. And I think as we compare contributing or giving to some of these other grace gifts that are listed here, I think it'll make more sense to us what I'm trying to say. So Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, and I realize that prophesying or prophecy is not on this list, although we'll talk about it in a minute. So Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8, let's read it. It's a familiar text, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. See how that sounds really a lot like Ephesians 2, 8 right there? By grace we've been saved so that we may not boast it as the gift of God. So by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Okay? But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure that God has assigned. Let me stop here for just a moment. Paul is dealing with an issue that people thought, well, I can prophesy, I can teach, I'm better than everybody else. Ha ha. I have this great ability. People are impressed by what I can do. Paul is trying to say, no. No, not only are the gifts not more important one than the other, and they are not. No gift is more important than the other. How you got it is something to help understand. Okay? Because I would never think of my ability to teach as being from me. I would think of that for being from God. And this is where he goes from there. Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now here's the core of the text. Having gifts, or you might say abilities there, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, we understand within the context of prophecy, those of us who have a little bit of an understanding of how this works, we would understand that that gift of prophecy would have been given to an individual by the laying on of hands of the apostles. Okay? No one would ever have thought that they worked real hard on their prophesying and all of a sudden they had earned the ability to prophesy. Do you understand what I'm saying? They didn't study at prophecy school and all of a sudden become a prophet. That was something that was given to them freely and completely. That ability was granted by the power of the Holy Spirit by apostles. So if I could prophesy or speak in tongues, that had nothing to do at all with Jason Sage's ability. We understand that in that context. Now, do we have the same understanding in the rest of these contexts? Because we should. All right? So now he says serving, teaching. And the problem is, maybe this is just me. Maybe this is my own little inner struggle. I think sometimes I'm doing that. I'm not doing it. I've been granted freely the ability to do it. And since it's been given to me by grace, by God, I should use it for his benefit. How about teaching? How about exhorting? How about leading? What makes a great teacher? You can't tell me. What makes a teacher can reach out to one child and not reach out to another? And yet someone down the hall can reach out to the one the other can't. It's not easily quantifiable. Within the church, that is a gift. Let me tell you something. There are Bible class teachers who are not very good preachers. There are preachers that are not very good Bible class teachers. That's a thing. Why is that? Because God has gifted certain people in certain ways that they have nothing to do with. Yes, you study. Yes, you prepare. But your ability to teach or your ability to exhort, some people are just natural exhorters. Some people can't wait to shake your hand. They can't wait to build you up. Some people are naturally negative. That's not a gift from God. Some people are naturally positive. That is a gift from God. If you don't think encouragement is a gift, you haven't been encouraged lately. Nothing builds you up like sincere encouragement. It changes who you are on the, it changes the way you feel about your life and your situation. You ever have a really bad day? You ever have a bad day and then some one small little nice thing happens? It turns it around. That is literally a gift from God. That person's ability to do that thing comes from God. Leading, being merciful, pardoning. Now there's contributing. I think sometimes we think of all those other things and then giving. I think we think of our giving as, well, I guess we just can't keep all the secular things out of the spiritual world. I guess we just got to have some filthy lucre in with our spiritual forgiveness. I think we think of giving that way. Well, it's just one of those things we have. Boy, wouldn't it be better if we lived under a communist rule and we didn't have any money and we didn't have to give anything? We could just be more spiritual. Not necessarily. That's not tonight's sermon. But that's another story for another day. But I think we think of money that way. I think we think of the contribution as, well, almost something we should be ashamed of. Right? We don't want to ask people for money. We're not asking people for money. But what if I thought of it as a grace gift? What if it is a grace gift? What if my ability to contribute is just as earned by me as my ability to be a good exhorter? Because that's the truth. The text says these are gifts given to us by grace. My ability to contribute, or to particularly to contribute well, does not come from me. Comes from God. I have a tendency to think of it this way. Well, I have earned my money. I have worked hard. I have put my nose to the grindstone. My boots didn't even have straps to pull up. I'm a self-made man. Now, apparently, I have to give. But thankfully, you can't make me give 10%, preacher, because it ain't in the Bible, it ain't in the New Testament. I guess if it's a command and I got to do it, I got to do it. If we're really honest, how many of us think of our, you don't raise your hand. How many of us either have or do think of our giving that way? That's not what it is about. My ability to contribute well is a gift from God. We think we're in control of our lives. Have kidney stones one time. Do you know what you will realize immediately? You are not in control of your life. Because we think, well, I get up, and James talks about this in the book of James, right? So let's go to this in country, buy and sell and make a profit. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. We think we do. We think, well, I have made this money and I have done this. God has gifted me with good health, with opportunity, and things I will never know about that allow me to be in a position to give. Every one of us, this is the case. Every one of us, this is the case. Our ability to contribute is a direct gift from God as much as our ability to prophesy or to exhort. Why make a big deal of this? Because when I'm giving, it depends, it really makes a difference as to whether I see a giving of mine or I'm giving something that's already been freely given to me. That will change how I view my giving. That will change how I give. It'll change the number. And this is not just some mental exercise. This is what the Word of God says about the issue. Take a look at verse 6, just briefly. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We'll break it down a little bit and hopefully understand our income in a different way. Having gifts. You could say abilities right there. Okay? Having gifts. Having gifts, in other words, the word is not grace. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Having gifts that differ according to grace. Remember we talked about salvation. Forgiveness is granted to me without cost. Salvation is granted to me without cost. my ability to do things are granted to me by God without cost. Now, that's really hard for us as Americans to wrap my mind around. Right? Because, well, we're self-made. We get out there and we do it. I work hard and I do this. And you want me to lay by in store what I have? I nothing. Let me tell you something. If God didn't want you to be able to contribute, you would not be able to. Every one of us has had some gift of health or opportunity or whatever the case may be that enables us to be there. And we need to realize God's presence in that and praise His name for it. We don't have a problem if we end up with a lucky situation. Let's say I've been looking for a house for 6 months and all of a sudden I meet someone and I end up with a house, and we'd have no problem saying, well, God led me in that situation, or God's hand, God was really looking out for me, the providence of God worked, that worked out for me. We don't have any problem saying that. But our money, I did that, right? Now look, maybe I'm just preaching to me and you're sitting there going, what's wrong with this guy? We know this. But when I begin to see the ability I have to contribute, to be a gift of God freely given, then those things that I'm going to give up are not as important to me. And grace changes 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Yes, it's a command. Yes, I have to do it, regardless of how I feel about it. I may not understand. You may sit out there and you say, preacher man, you are just, you preachers, man, you just come up with the crazy ideas. This idea that I didn't do it and I need to praise God for the things I'm able to do and my ability to contribute is God's gift. Come on, preacher man, you know I earned that. You know I've been working hard since I've been 15 years old. That may be the way you think. And you may look at 1 Corinthians 16 this way. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there be no collecting when I come. Now you may say, preacher man, I want to be a good Christian and I understand commands and I appreciate that I'm commanded to lay by in store, so begrudgingly I will do so. I tell you something interesting. I did not know until studying for this lesson. If you have a translation other than a King James Version, and I mean the King James, not the New King James, it says, as he may prosper. Do you know what the King James says there? As God may prosper him. Now God is in italics, for those of you who are familiar with what that means within the King James translation. But that's a better idea. It may not be a better translation, but it's a better idea. I give back as God has prospered me. Not as I have prospered. God has given me ability and time and health and opportunity to do the things that I have, to have the money that I have. He has given me that so that I may be of some use in the kingdom. Would we have any problem understanding this about teaching? That guy's a natural teacher. He should get out there and teach. Why is he not teaching? He's a gifted natural teacher. God has given him that ability. Why would he not use it? What would we think if we had a person here who was the best song leader in the state of Tennessee and we couldn't get him up in front of services? We think, man, God has gifted that guy, has given him a talent like no other, and he won't use it. We would not think good things about them. And contribution is in that same text. I give freely because I have received freely. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So what's the point of this? I want you to see God in your life. I want me to see God in my life. I don't know if you pray before you eat meals. I hope that you do for lots of reasons. But here's the main one. Every time I eat a meal, I need to give thanks. Why? Because it's a sometimes many times a day reminder for me that God has blessed me, that God has given me something. I need to have that mindset all the time about all things, a constant sense of God's abiding presence we sing. God's abiding, providing of my needs. And if I have that and I understand my ability to contribute that way, then I won't have a problem with Sunday morning. I won't have a problem with that. You won't have to give me a command. My Lord, my Jesus, who died on the cross, has a kingdom. He wants to see its work done. How can I help? Give as you've been given. Can you stop me from teaching or leading, singing or exhorting or being merciful? No. Should you be able to stop me from contributing? Also no. I'm just telling you, maybe again this is just me, I'm telling you the way, I'll blame it on 20-year-old Jason Sage. Let's say 25-year-old Jason Sage. 25-year-old Jason Sage would hear 1 Corinthians and go, yeah, it's a command, I can't get around it. Man, seems pretty clear. All right, so I got to give on the first day of the week. And you want me to be cheerful? You want me to give of my precious thing that I've earned and worked hard and sweated for and worked overtime for? Now you want it, and now you want me to be cheerful. I don't understand this at all, preacher. I don't understand this whole thing. It starts because I think I've done it. When I understand God has given it to me, when I understand my position as a member of the Lord's army, when I understand that I am a servant to Jesus Christ, that I want the things Jesus wants, that my will is aligned with the will of the Father, and that will is that the gospel be preached and that Christians' needs be met, you can't stop me. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's not that God is somehow, you ever had somebody hold your finger, hold your fingers or your hands in such a way that's kind of some kind of trick where it's painful, right? They can get a hold of your hand and you can't get rid of it. I think that's sometimes the way we look at being cheerful. God's just got our hands held down, and he's just going to keep holding them down. Now, you're going to be cheerful about this giving thing, right? Yes, Lord. I understand it's a command. I will do it. I will be cheerful. Look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. If I give, God will give me more. If I give back what God has given to me, He gave it to me in the first place, He can give me more of it. He who applies seed for the sower can grant more seed for the sower. If I take my seed and I put it in the earth, and or even if you think about Matthew chapter 25, if I just at least give it to the moneylenders and earn interest on it, if I can give that back to the Lord, if I'm a prosperous servant, if the Lord has given me His valuable goods and I've made more of them, guess what He's going to do? He's going to give me more. If David Brown hired me to write insurance, I ride insurance on Little Red Wagons. Little Red Wagon Insurance, new thing from State Farm. Somehow Patrick Mahomes is involved. And I go out there and I write 100 policies for $100,000 a piece. Everybody's paying their Little Red Wagon premiums, and Dave Brown's insurance office makes a whole bunch of money. Do you know what he's going to do for me? He's going to give me as many clients as he can possibly give. He's going to make up insurance policies for me to sell. And he's going to give me as much opportunity to continue making profits for his company. Guess what God is doing? He is in the business of broadening the borders of his kingdom. And he is looking for servants who are prosperous and who yield 10, 50, 100 fold. And if you gain 100 fold, do you know what God is going to do? He's going to give you more. And I guarantee you, whether you're selling Little Red Wagons or whether you're making Christians for the Lord's church, you will be cheerful if you're any good at it. Just a real quick thing. It's kind of It's kind of family moment. This congregation is at a great point. We have installed elders within the last year. We've installed deacons in the last year. We are growing. We are blessed by God Himself. We, this as an aside, we need to see that as from God and thank Him for it on a regular basis. Secondarily to that, we are in a situation where we are in need of seating arrangements. Not so much tonight, but it's a real thing. If we are going to do the work of the Lord, if the Lord's church is going to prosper in Clarksville, Tennessee, and there are going to be more Christians instead of fewer, that's going to involve some monetary things. I know nothing, by the way. I'm not telling any secrets. You know we need a building. Everybody knows we need a building. If you're here this morning, you know we need air conditioning to keep people cool. Guess what that's going to take? It's going to take God's gifts freely given to us and freely given to God because we want to see His work prosper. Guys, this is the point. Do we know that what we're doing is the Lord's work? Do we know that this is God's thing? Do we know that people are going to hell in Clarksville, Tennessee, and by the hundreds of thousands? And the only thing that can save them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only place where they can find the true seed of the word is in this and very few congregations in Clarksville. The gospel preached, obedience preached, immersion for believers preached, congregations that do the will of God and say, we will only do what is in the word of God and nothing else. There's only so many of us. Does God look down and say, I gave them 70 talents and they've maintained that 70 talents. Good job, fellas. Is that the way the parable of talents works? If you haven't read Matthew 25 in a while, go check it out. No, that's not the way it works. The way it works is God is looking for us if we've been given 5 talents to give 5 more. And if we've been given 2 to give 2 more. And He doesn't want this congregation to sit at 70. I'm thrilled that number's there, but I'll be more thrilled when it's 140 or 240. And if we're going to house them and we're going to have worship services for them, it's going to take giving. So that's the lesson. The last part was bonus sermon. Let's see the things that we have and thank God for them. The clothes that we have, the cars, the jobs, the opportunities, the ability to eat. If you get a Chick-fil-A ice cream cone, there's nothing better than a Chick-fil-A ice cream cone. Thank God you're able to afford a Chick-fil-A ice cream cone. Or whatever your thing is. Blizzard, I'm making everybody hungry. Man, when Shoney's was open, a strawberry pie was just the thing. You know, I don't know what a piece of strawberry pie would cost, but $5, I would gladly give $5 for a really good piece of strawberry pie right now. You know where I got that $5? Jehovah God. And it was given to me as much as my ability to breathe. And if God has things He would like to do with what He's given me, shouldn't I want to give it back? Shouldn't I want to see the fruit? Shouldn't I want to see the harvest that comes from the seed planted? Well, if I'm going to reap, I got to sow. Love you. Sorry for the little personal message at the end. Not sorry at all. God is good. He has granted me forgiveness of sins. He has granted me salvation by His grace. It didn't cost me a thing. It cost God everything. I can go to heaven because God was gracious enough to forgive my sins. That's our problem. I have a sin problem. And if I can't be forgiven of it, I'm guilty and I'm going to be cast into outer darkness. That is the reality of every person's situation in the world. There's only one difference. I have a Savior. I bowed my knee. I've confessed His name. Jesus Christ, my Lord, the Messiah, the resurrected Son of God. All authority has been given in Him in heaven and on earth. He has a kingdom. Go out and make disciples. Bring in citizens for my kingdom. How do you do that? You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you need to be in Christ's kingdom and have the blessings graciously given of that, come forward tonight as we stand and we sing.